This is Victrios.
Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I want to bring a word to us this morning that I call Sound of Heaven or Sounds of Heaven. Sounds of Heaven. It's something that we're going to be considering all throughout this one. Sounds of Heaven. There is something about sound. Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. Media, I'm sure I gave you the notes pretty late. I forgot, but I still sent it to you guys. Genesis chapter 1. All right, let's go. The Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, or God sounded, let there be light. And there was light. So in the beginning, the first time we see that God shows up on the scene, God introduced us to a concept of sound. God introduced us to what we call sounds. And he showed us that sounds usually precede sight. God, from this beginning, shows us that sound will precede sight. I can tell you the sight that will show up if I know the sound that is going on. If I hear the sound in an atmosphere, I can tell you what people will begin to see there. That is why when we are giving this kind of international, multinational sound, let me tell you what you are going to see. You are going to see international results. Can somebody say amen? That means businesses connected to this house will enjoy global attention. I thought somebody would say a big amen to that. That also means we will begin to see the same sounds that we are making now. We will start seeing some of them in our midst. Can somebody say amen to that? So heaven is known for sound. In fact, the realm of the spirit, sound is a major thing. Sound is very, very important in the realm of the spirit. That's why we sing when we come to church. Many people wonder why I sing when I take up the mic. Many of the time is to tune in. If you know our general overseer, usually when he takes up the mic, he will sing. The songs are not songs to prepare the service. They've sang songs. The song is to tune in, because there are sounds that you make in the spirit that connect you. There are sounds that go on in the spirit that connect you to what is happening in the spirit. So when you want some certain things to show up, you make some certain sounds. So from this scripture, we see that sounds are not just for communication. Sound is not just for communication. We don't just release sound to communicate. We don't just release sound to pass information. Sound can be for creation. So in this scripture, we see that God was speaking, and what God said was creating. What God said was not describing what was happening. What God said was creating. I want to stand as a man sent by God to somebody this morning, and I declare that into your life, September 1 to September last day, there will be creative miracles in your life. Everything that has defied the word of God, everything that has defied the plan of God, I declare, let there be correction in the name of Jesus. So the sounds are major things. Sounds are weapons in the spirit. We see in scriptures many times, people will win a war by sound. People will fight, not with artillery, not with guns, not with anything. They will fight with sounds. In fact, I said some weeks ago when I was talking about David, that really, did David kill Goliath with the stone, or did David kill Goliath with sound? David said many things before he did what he did. It was what he said that eventually killed Goliath. It is not what he did. Sometimes some of us are spending time doing things, but we are not releasing sound. We are not releasing words into the atmosphere. We are not coloring our atmosphere with sound. And sight is always following sound. So sometimes when there is no sound, there are no sights. That's why some lines lack the color, lack the sight, because there are no sounds in the heavens, there are no sounds in the atmosphere that are gathering together to bring the sights to be. Sound will always travel faster than sight. Even science proves that. Sound. But you see, the interesting thing about sound is that there are positive sounds and there are negative sounds. There are positive sounds. There are sounds that you will release that will enable the power of God to move, that will enable the God to find expression like never before. And there are sounds that you can release that can limit God. Even God is limited by sound. That's why the Bible said in the beginning, God, when there was darkness upon the surface of the earth, God had to speak. God could not just imagine it in his mind. God could not just think it. God had to put vocal cords. God had to verbalize his thoughts. God had to verbalize his intention. And God had to sound it out. God had to say it. Because if you say it, you will see it. But there are positive sounds, or there are good sounds that tend us and allow God. There are evil sounds that enable and allow the devil. There are evil sounds. Let me talk about some evil sounds. Just maybe one and then move on. Because today we are just doing good sounds. Can somebody say amen to that? One evil sound is complaining and murmuring. Complaining and murmuring. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'll read from verse 9. One evil sound is complaint and murmur. When we complain, when we murmur, it's an evil sound. Scripture makes us to understand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 9, the Bible says, Neither let us tempt Christ, as some also tempted, and they were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. This reference in scripture was mentioning what happened when Israelites, they got to the brink and they saw the Red Sea and other things that they saw, because it was not only at the Red Sea that they complained or that they murmured. And the Bible said they began to murmur. A murmur is a little different from complaints. Now, understand me that sometimes you can complain. In Acts chapter 6 from verse 1, the Bible said there were complaints in the church where some people said, well, we are being neglected by the daily servants. And the Bible said because of that complaint, their early church adjusted to accommodate that complaint. So there is a place of complaint and feedback within the system of God. So God is not against people giving feedback. It's okay to give feedback, for example, in a church. Pastor, can we do this better? Pastor, can we do that better? The difference between complaint and murmur is that complaint is specific and is directed to somebody. A murmur is something you are uttering in, you are not making it audible, but you are making those statements under your breath and without addressing it to anybody. You are just complaining or murmuring without addressing it to somebody. So scripture said here that this Israelite, they started to murmur against Moses. They started to say this. Why did Moses bring us here? Why did Moses do this? Why did Moses do that? And the Bible said it was an evil thing that they did. They were releasing wrong vibes. Can I tell you this? If you want your life to go forward, never be part of a murmuring session. Some of the murmuring session can look like a concern. Let us be concerned. And you see people, if there is a concern, do like Acts 6. Bring the complaint forward to where it can be addressed. But when you begin to talk about things that you are not putting to where it can be addressed, the Bible calls it murmur. And the Bible says it's an evil sound. It's a sound that does not have good repercussions. It brings bad vibes. It brings bad vibes. And there are many people, they murmur about almost everything. Murmur about children. There are people, they murmur about their relationships. They are married to somebody. They're just complaining. And these complaints are not to the person. They are under your breath. They are when the person is not there. They are in your mind sometimes. You are saying it in your mind. The person is saying something and you have said a lot of things under your breath or in your mind about that person. What you are doing is you are releasing evil vibes. You are releasing evil sound. And the Bible said those kind of sounds are not good. If it was only against people that people do it, it would have even been okay. People do it to God. There are some people, what they call prayer is mama. Just come and say all kind of things. I've been serving God. I've been coming to church. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. And look at my life. Look at this. Look at that. Look at that. Look at... Just all kind of ranting. And God will be like, well, you served me. Did you serve me for me? There is nothing, just listen to this. There is nothing I do for God. There is nothing you do for God that is really to God's benefit. Everything is to your benefit. If you come here now, we dance in United Nations. God has not heard German before. It's your own German that he needs before, you know. Before they form the language, he has been hearing words. He has a choir that is bigger than the whole earth that are giving. Look at God's choir, sir. Some is one word they are uttering. Talk of harmony, of music. One word. Some people are just saying, holy, holy, holy. Another person will say, you who was, who is, and who is to come. That's what they are saying forever. So you now come and now feel like big deal. Your own talk to God will not be more than how much? 1 hour. And then you now want him to be under pressure. No. You don't do God like that. You don't treat God like that. You don't come before him complaining. You don't come before him murmuring. You don't come before him saying, oh, this is not... And look at this scripture. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. As we move on. Philippians 2 and 14. Philippians 2 and verse 14. Media, if you can move fast, any scripture that is ahead, just get it on time. All right, let's look at this. Bible says, do all things without murmurings and disputing. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. So when you have to do some things for people, do it without murmuring. That means that there are things that people have done for people, even though they did it, because they added murmur to it, they have invalidated what they have done. So why should you help that guy and then murmur about the help so much that the help that should have been a seed for you is now not a good seed for you? Oh, is it just me? Is it only me that will just be helping you? Am I God? Am I? Yes, come on. If you don't want to help, don't help. God can help. God sends us as channels of help. We are not the source of help. Can nobody say amen to that? God has not changed his address. He's still God. He's still the source of help. Anybody else is a channel. And if one person refuses to be a help, he will raise another person. God is even able to raise stones. God can raise help that the person will not even know that. They won't even know you. I've heard stories before. The Ajana Vasi has told us a story before. He said one day he needed money so badly to complete the auditorium. And he was praying and saying, God, you need to help me. You know what God did? God told the man somewhere far away from where he was. He told the man, he said, man, you have to go and give my servant so and so this amount of money. Now, the person was eating. The person had to pack his food and bring this food. So when the person got to the redemption camp, the person had to start eating the food in front of the office that he couldn't eat because he had to just get transportation and come to meet the general overseer. And when the general overseer saw him, I said, who are you? Who are you looking for? He said, I'm looking for some. He didn't know who he was looking for because God told him, and they don't know from Adam. God sent it to him. I'm praying for somebody this morning. God will send you help in the name of Jesus. So you need to understand that anything that you do that you had complaint and murmuring to, you have spoilt it. You have spoilt it. You just made it. You just invalidated it. You serve us. You serve God in church. Do it without murmuring. Will human beings appreciate? Maybe. Will human beings not appreciate? Maybe not. But if you do it without murmuring, God who sees in the secret. There are things people have done before. No human being knew that they did it, but God rewarded them. God is a rewarder. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, he that must come to God must believe that God is alive and is a rewarder. Every time you come to church, understand that God is a rewarder. Men, the best thing that men can do for you in anything that you do is award you something. Even the reward they gave you is an award. But God can reward you. And when God rewards you, oh my God, you'll be happy for it. I pray for somebody in this place this morning. God will send you rewards in the name of Jesus. So let's move away from those negative sounds and let's talk about positive sound. And that's all I'm going to be talking about this month. All kinds of positive sounds that you can release into the atmosphere. One of the positive sounds, ladies and gentlemen, you can release is the sound of praise. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. You see, the word praise itself, the Hebrew underpinning or the Hebrew meaning of that word or the Hebrew word is hallel. Probably that's where we got the word hallelujah from. So that word by itself means that you give appreciation, you give adulation, you celebrate the person of someone, or you celebrate the performance of someone. And when we're talking about sounds of praise, ultimately and first and foremost, your sound of praise should be addressed to God. Giving him, celebrating him, appreciating him, giving him adoration, understanding that his person is worth celebrating, understanding that the performances and his actions are worth celebrating. Praising God is exactly what God made us for. We were made to praise God. We are at our best when we praise God. We are at our best when we celebrate God. It is natural. That is what God really made us to do. 1 Peter 4:10. 1 Peter 4:10. The Bible makes us understand that we were created to bring God praise. We are God's handiwork. We are God's creation that are supposed to bring him praise. I think 1 Peter 2:9. The Bible says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a people that he has called for himself to do on, show forth his praise. The reason God created you, the reason God created me was so that we will show forth his praise. So when it comes to praising God, we were made for this. You were custom built for this. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you were custom built to praise God. When it comes to praising God, we are commanded to praise God. Yes, we are created to praise God. We are also commanded to praise God. So it is not only that I was made to do it. I have been made to do it by compulsion. I have to do it. So if I don't do it, it's a disobedience. If I'm not doing it, I am disobeying heaven. I am not doing what I was meant to do, and therefore I am in disobedience. The Bible says in Psalm 150:6, it says, let everything that has breath, let them praise the Lord. Are there things that have breath this morning? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Sounds of praise. We were created to give God sounds of praise. We were commanded to give God sounds of praise. Why should we give God sounds of praise? Because there are things in praise. There are things that God, there are mysteries. There are things God has wrapped up in that very activity of praising God. There are things in praise. Let me run through them. Number one, when we praise God, God raises us. We read a scripture this morning when the woman of God was leading us in prayer. Psalm 67, if you read from verse 3. Psalm 67 from verse 3. The Bible says, let all the nations, let all the people, let everyone, let them praise God. Let all the people praise thee, O God. And verse 4 says, oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. And then verse 5 says, let the people praise thee. Let all the people praise thee. Move on. Then shall the earth yield and increase. Meaning that there is a raising that is in prison. God raises you when you praise him. Because when the peoples praise God, the Bible said the earth will yield an increase. That means that your job will yield an increase. That means that when we come to a service like this, what we are doing is that we are sowing seed, and inevitably harvest will come. We are going to have our increase. That's why I'm very confident that this month of September is a fruitful month for somebody. I thought that person was in church this morning. So in praise, God raises us. If you want to see rising in life, if you want to see God raise you in life, some people know about asking God, God come and raise me up, God come and increase me, God come and push me, God come and do this, God come and do that. Well, he will answer. But there's something about praise. Praise automatically lifts you up. It raises you up. Have you noticed that even just attitude wise, if you praise God, you can't be depressed. You can't be down. In Isaiah chapter 61, let's read it. Isaiah chapter 61. And the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Pull it up. Isaiah 61 from 1. Is it coming? The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news unto the meek. Move on. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Continue. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn in Zion. Keep on. To appoint to them that mourn in Zion, listen to this, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. He's still saying how you can appoint things and give people that are mourning or people that are depressed, how you can help them. He says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That means that if you wear the garment of praise, there is no spirit of heaviness that can hold you. That means that the presence of praise is the absence of depression. The presence of praise is the swallowing of heaviness. So if you have heaviness, one of the things you can do is to get a praise party. It's not a pity party you need. You need a praise party. Sometimes some people want to have a pity party. They are looking for people that will help them weep, help them mourn. No, you don't need them. You need people that will help you smile, people that will help you rejoice. Because there is something about praise. It raises you. There are men and women in this house this morning. God is raising you up in the name of Jesus. So in praise, God raises us. God raises us. What is in praise? In praise, God positions us for victory. In praise, God positions us for victory. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 2 Chronicles 20, and if you read from verse 20, the Bible talked about a king that needed to fight a battle. And this guy fought a battle not with guns, not with machineries, but with praise. So praise is that powerful. Praise can position you for victory. So when we are praising God today, when we are dancing, I want you to understand that we are not stupid. What we are doing is that we are strategic. We are using strategies of war. It's a warfare strategy to praise God. Because what it does to you is it positions you for victory. I want somebody to say loud and clear, say in the name of Jesus, I will enjoy victory in the month of September. In Jesus' precious name. What is in praise? Praise, above every other thing, it involves God. What praise does is that praise gets God connected and committed. That's what it does. You can pray amiss, you know. You probably have heard that statement before. But when it comes to praise, you can't praise amiss. When you celebrate, you it's a perfect thing. You can do it perfectly. And what that does is it just connects God, because God has an address. God has a frequency. He's always on the frequency of praise. If you tune into the frequency of praise, anytime T, you will meet God there. He's broadcasting on that frequency. So when you tune in there to the frequency of praise, you meet God there. And what that happens, what that does is this: you have now involved God in what he wants to do. In Acts of Apostles chapter 16, the Bible did not tell us that Paul and Silas, they really said anything to God about God delivering them. The Bible said they prayed and praised. We don't know what the prayer mean. We don't know if God should deliver them. But the Bible said they praised to the point that the prisoners heard them. And the Bible says everyone's chains was loosed. Not even only them. Everyone's changed. Go read that scripture from verse 25. Acts chapter 16. Everyone's changed. Well, the Bible even said the gates were opening on their own accord to the point that the jailer wanted to kill himself. That what is going on here? Why? Because God was involved. When you praise, you get into the frequency of God. The Bible says in Psalm 22 and verse 3. Psalm 22 and verse 3. The Bible says God lives inside praise. God lives in the praise of his people. He said, but you are only, you would live in the praise of your people. So God rise on praise. When we praise God, when we appreciate God, when we celebrate God, what we are doing is that we are creating an habitation. And if God shows up, it doesn't matter anything that is against you. Scripture says, if God be for me, who can successfully be against me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Songs of praise is a sound of heaven. Song of praise is a sound of heaven. So because of this morning's dancing that we are going to have in a short minute, how should you praise God today? How should you praise God today? Number one, you should praise him intentionally. You should praise him with intentionality. You should praise him as a decision, not as an happening. Most people, the reason they are not able to have praise as a lifestyle is that they are waiting for events. And if you wait for events, you may not find that event that will prompt you to praise God. But if you choose to praise God, oh my God, how blessed is that? Habakkuk said in Habakkuk chapter 3 and 17, Habakkuk chapter 3 and 17, reading downwards, he said, them everything may not have worked out. January may not have looked like the way it should look. February down to August might not have been the best month. He says, but this is what I'm going to do. Move to verse 19. Although all these things have happened, although some things have not worked out. Oh, no, excuse me. Do from 18. Although things have not worked out, I will make a conscious decision. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So praise is intentional. You decide, I will do this. It's not what happens. If you are waiting for events to happen, events may not ever happen. Some people will say, when God answers me, when God gives me that legal thing that I want, I'm going to come and dance. If you don't dance now, the devil will know that your dance can be postponed. Dance like there's nothing. Even if God doesn't do anything, dance for him now. Because what he does is that dance will provoke what he needs to do. How do you praise God? You praise him with intentionality and you praise him with understanding. You understand what is in praise. And just like I'm opening your eyes to see the dimensions of praise tonight, to this morning, you praise him with understanding. How should you praise God? You praise him with joy. You praise him with joy. You choose joy. You allow joy to flow. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 12 and 3, it says, therefore with joy shall you draw out of the well of salvation. There is something about joy. There is something about allowing the joy of the Lord, which is already resident on the inside of you if you have given your life to Christ, allowing that joy to flow. That's how to praise God. Praise him with joy. So not praising him with a frown. Not coming and praising God as if God, you know, you need to prove a point with him. Sometimes some people, the way they praise God is with an attitude. They are kind of like, you know, it's like, God, well, you know what? You've not kept your part of the bargain. I'll just give you half of the whole dance, half of the whole clapping, half of the whole singing. No. Praise him with joy. How should you praise him? With intentionality, with joy. How should you praise him? Add a dance to it. The Bible says in Psalm 150 and verse 4, Psalm 150 and verse 4, it says, praise God with instruments and praise him with a dance. Praise him with a dance. It is good to dance before God. That's why I said today that in our praise session today, I want you to dance and sweat so that you will sweat everything that was supposed to make you be under pressure in September. You sweat it away. How should you praise him? Praise him with joy. Praise him with a dance. And I want you to also do what? Praise him with an offering. Oh yes, we praise God with offering. You can bring something to God as a show of gratitude, as a show of praise. The Bible says in Psalm 96 and verse 8, Psalm 96 and verse 8, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering. So when you are giving glory to God or giving praise to God, bringing an offering is also part of the equation. Because some people will say, well, God just needs my singing and my dancing. He also needs you to show, because there is no way you tell God I love you without giving him something. There is no love without giving. So we praise him. We praise him intentionally. We praise him with joy. We praise him with a dance. We praise him with an offering. And finally, we praise him sacrificially. What does it mean to praise God sacrificially? It means to praise him before it is done. It means to praise him when it doesn't look like it. It means to praise him when it is not convenient. Sacrifice is all about discomfort. There are some times when you sing and dance, that's the last thing you should be doing. It looks like you are crazy. It looks like you are stupid. That's why sometimes when people come to church, they're like, you are stupid people. What's making you happy? Why should you be happy? Why should you be rejoicing? You are praising him sacrificially. In Hebrews 13 and verse 15, Hebrews 13 verse 15, the Bible says, let us continually offer unto God the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise. And it says the sacrifice of praise is using our lips to sound, make sounds to heaven. And when it is sacrificial, it is when you have not seen it yet. It looks like things have not happened yet. It looks like everything you are believing God for has not happened. And this is September. The year is almost over. This is almost nine months gone in 2019. Where is this year going? Has God forgotten me? You now dance as if everything has worked out the way you want it to be. The Bible calls that sacrifice of praise.